rules. And from what I've read, it's 50-50. I mean, some of this stuff is very vague. And I can see where they're trying to make a case of it. To have it overturned seems kind of a long shot, but the actual 50% vagueness gives them, you know, I guess, an opportunity to try to present their case to people that perhaps are not horse-racing people that, you know, that's why you want a jury of your peers that unbiased, get wadeered, and technically are supposed to be able to just rule without passion and in a unbiased way. So, I mean, that's a right that he has. It's obviously not going to do the racing industry any good, but like I said, you know, it's his right, and it's the right of any other person in this country, and if they were in the same position, I'm sure they would be fighting for that right.
Sid, let's step away from the hard news, which is just bedeviling, and talk about the three winners from the week, as much as last week, the Classic Causeway, and Tampa, and Epicenter on Saturday in New Orleans, who was just terrific. And I should mention, too, of course,
shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you...
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening online, and at our website, too, online, SteveBeck.com. Back at Gulfstream Park for one more morning, and there is more activity here today after that first Monday of the month grooming, and I didn't really see where they were doing any excavating per se, like turning over the, you know, the cushion or anything. But horses out on the track this morning. In fact, right now they're doing the Harrow break, and doesn't really feel like a racetrack unless there's in the morning, unless there's horses out galloping around. Still subdued and kind of quiet, but still plenty of activity to engage on the weekend. Some more recapping. We're going to talk to Shug, who actually I tried to lure Shug over here. I stopped at Bake Shack in Dania, which we discovered when it, right when it opened 5 years ago. Now you can't get near the place. It's the old Yogi Berra. The place is so popular that nobody goes there anymore. But it was early this morning. I should have brought over some of their baked goods. Bake Shack. Unbelievable on Federal. But I'm not a big sweet breakfast type. I'm more the savory breakfast type. So I got an egg tchotchke, an egg roll, an egg roll sounds good. No, a wrap, an egg wrap. So I tried to lure Shug over, but he's back at the barn. But he's over visiting Gulfstream today. He's got horses here, of course, as well as at Payson. And there's quite a few that do this. Bill Mott will come over and spend at least one morning a week watching everybody gallop. And so we're going to talk to Shug. And I would have liked to have had him right in person. We are going to have in person, as promised. If you're listening to the replay just now and heard the end of the show, John Parada is coming over, and Maury Wolf. We called the Wolf, and we'll have. I think we'll have a very unscripted discussion. We had dinner. We had like a little dinner party last night, and I really am on the rubber chicken circuit, as they say. It has been one function after another, and it's one of the things you look forward to when you're visiting the track. But it's supposed to be one night or two nights. It's not supposed to go on endlessly for weeks on end. In fact, I was trying to determine, what the expiration date is on a trip like this, and I think 17 days is sort of the demarcation. It's hard to say. But I think I've been out for together at somebody's place, for a dinner evening, or a bunch of us going out. I'm going to say in the neighborhood of about six days out of seven the last 2 weeks. So I don't know how much more of this we're going to be able to take. And I think coming up, I'll be at Tampa tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. Marty and I know are ticketed, and we'll see who else, probably with Sid. Well, in fact, I got to get Sid to come over to the track tomorrow. That'll be fun. And then OBS, same thing. I mean, OBS, I've been virtually, it seems like almost every horseman in North America feels like they're going to be there. Although I was exchanging notes with Aaron Yagoda this morning, and I had expected Aaron would come down. But we're in the market maybe for one filly, and so I was looking forward to Aaron's help. Not that there aren't going to be plenty of resources in terms of advice looking at 2-year-olds. So Gary, I said to Gary, "Is he coming down?" He goes, "No, I'm going in April." I said, "Well, he actually went on vacation, so for 10 days. So I'm on my own, which is never a good idea, to. And don't tell Tina that I'm thinking of picking up a 2-year-old. So Shug is going to be here, John Parada and Maury Wolf as well. I think Graham Motion later, Andy Serling, of course. I want to check in with Papo and get some recapping in from the weekend. Some good form to win with some good ideas that came out over the weekend. And how about, by the way, speaking of good ideas, on Friday there was the combination of Nick Tamaro early during that pick six, and I did have the Friday pick six, which paid okay, which it paid okay, and it wasn't, it was fairly formful, but Nick certainly helped with one of the, you know, one of the horses that was the one of the tougher. I won't say impossible by any means, but paid what, 11, I think $11. And I think as I was trying to lighten my load of PPs, I think I did not keep the... Aqueduct Friday. Here, let me see. Here it is, because I'll give you the details. I had, you know, it was one of those annoying ones where I had had everybody somewhere, but didn't have them all on one ticket. And it's funny because the public, that Stencil got bet like he couldn't lose, and then went off by a half a dozen. Norman Queen came through at 6-5. Winterpool ended up. I thought Winterpool was, you know, maybe vulnerable. Not at all. A little under 5-2, paid 460. How Lucky, who was just, I thought, one of the ones in that sixth race. And Dealing Justice, there it is. Dealing Justice, $11 in the eighth race. That was a good. I had Dealing Justice involved, but down the pecking order. And then Cecilia Mike, the 8-year-old, who's really been a nice horse Gary had for the longest time and had a lot of success with. And Cecilia Mike closed it out as the second choice, 780. So that pick six, and there's been a bunch of these to deal with, this pick six paid $1,230. So, you know, that's a nice, that's a nice return. And then on Sunday here at Gulfstream, this one I think I do have, but I'm not going to start digging around. You had a big force out here, and they were expecting, it's kind of fun, they were expecting maybe in the neighborhood of $3 million in the Rainbow force out, and it ended up that they got, I think, five. Yeah. And this one was... This one, and it's always good when the Rainbow Six, is fairly $3.5 million, and it paid $4,200, $7, $4.40. The tough horse, Tis Splendid News, $14.20. That Benelux, you know, that ninth race, because I was here for that. I was here the late portion of the afternoon. And if Uncle Curly at 15-1 had been able to resist Benelux, then this thing would have paid exponentially. It paid 4,000. It would have paid probably 15,000 if Benelux does not surge to the wire and just get a neck out in front of Uncle Curly. So, yeah, 3-2 versus 15-1. And you did have that Here Comes Bullet, who, by the way, how about Marty McGee? I don't know if you noticed this, but I was in where I am now in the media office, and Mike Welch right away, as Angel Arroyo crossed the wire, 16-60, so paid $35.20. This was Bob Hess, the first dude gelding for Michael Catalano and Jeff Lambert. Marty had that horse on top. Yeah, Marty gave out Here Comes Bullet in the Sunday tabs. So for those that, you know, kind of check and survey and you know, collect some public opinion to get a gauge, great job by Marty. So we'll be with Marty at Tampa. We should have a lot of fun. So that was Gulfstream. And then yesterday, so Friday, Sunday, and then yesterday at Golden Gate, they had a force out. It's been a parade. And theirs came back. I was following it up until the nightcap. Well, the nightcap ended up being the 3-2 favorite, North Sea. So that one paid $18.88, and they brought in $1.3 million. So I'm sure I saw Dave Duggan was thanking players. You had a 6-1 shot win the eighth, and 3-1. So you had some beaten favorites in here. Emerald Magic, 3-1, and you had the favorite in the fifth, 3-2. So just enough to spice it up. All right. So there's your recap on all the multi-race opportunities. I'll give you one more, and maybe I'll bring this up with Andy. It's not going to sound like much, but and we really didn't have a chance on Friday with all the racing and all the stakes between Gulfstream and Aqueduct and Santa Anita. Did not really have a chance to delve into the cross country. However, it ended up paying a outlandish number. And if I'm going to tell you the number, 130. And you think, 130? Well, go through the winners, because this was barely a pick three, essentially. Because Garhol was an absolute single. If you were on a budget, you were going to lean on the Chad Brown, Seth Klarman, Firster at Tampa. You know, maybe you used one more or two more. I glanced at it and I said, well, Chad is supposed to win this. Then in New York, you might have spread a little bit with Venti Valentine, who won at a silly price. But you certainly weren't going to exclude her. I mean, Radio Days got bet crazily, but, you know, maybe you used Venti Valentine, Magic Circle, and Radio Day. So maybe you went three deep. And then in the Gotham, you were using Morello, maybe a couple of others. I thought Glider might be worth using. Scully liked Dean's List, who ran fine. There was Baffert with Rockefeller, but, you know, you didn't have to go crazy deep. The other race at Oaklawn was going to be most likely. So the point is, it was not a sequence that required, deep coverage. The parlay paid $37. The win parlay. And as a complete bet, it paid $130. Crazy. So, they're always worth looking at. And then, of course, there were the two surface specific pick fives between Santa Anita and Gulfstream, and the dirt was crazy formful and paid 80. What I hit at 80 something, and the turf. I blew it with Temple. I ran second, third, fourth, and fifth in that McDermott, and somebody said, how could you leave Maker out? Well, what do you mean? Should I put all five Makers in? I did not have Temple, and that one paid nicely, actually. So let me go find that one too. I want to say, it ended back at Santa Anita, right? With the kill row was the last of that, sequence. So this thing, there we go. The kill row. Come on. Actually, I got it here. Why am I looking there? As time goes by, it was the 10th. So here it paid $1,533. And it was eminently hittable. That one, I felt like that one got away. Had four A's, and certainly there was no reason not to have at least had some C coverage, on the back end. And I was hyper aggressive, actually, looking at it now, using. Fantasioso and A-Ban, and then I had Shamrocket and Media Blitz, and my next two probably, I can't say definitively that Temple would have been, looking back, probably now that I look at it. Temple was a bad omission, and the worst part about this is I really did not spend a lot in this, I would have had to have added three more, so yeah, 20, 60, 180 would have been a $90 ticket, so. But they're fun, and these are very creative. That came up yesterday too, right? Creative wagering concepts. The players like it. They appreciate it. Multi race, multi venue. In this case, surface specific. Very fun. No, I mean there's obviously a certain percentage of us, right, that came up, and as the internet was, growing and morphing, the Sitgo, right, the Sitgo pick six on ESPN, we play that, and we've talked about Sal Sinatra's great 60-minute pick six, which was his answer to the Magna Five. The Magna Five was sort of the origin of all of, these multi-race, multi-venue bets. And the 60-minute six, the short-lived, and it took a tremendous amount of execution for what Sal Sinatra put it together every week. And Philly, New York, Delaware, and Laurel. And, six races in, sometimes it would stretch to an hour and, 15 minutes. But it was a great concept. I should go look at some charts and try to and go back and see. It was during the summer, and it must have run, 2 months, 2.5 months. But then it was very hard to coordinate post times and make sure you have the right, the right kinds of races in the sequence, etc. So a lot of work goes into that. Don't think it doesn't. Yesterday, of course, the news that came out, and I'm happy to typically to have stories emerge on the air. The one yesterday, though, really triggered a tremendous response of sadness. And I put Get Stormy's PPs up and a couple of wonderful pictures of that Ann Eberhardt took for Blood Horse, one of him winning the Maker's Mile, really stretching, and then a really cute picture of him. What looks to be on a frosty morning, you can see frost on the grass, and Get Stormy's given Ann a little side eye, and his mane is flowing. The nickname of Clyde, and reaching out to Tom Bush to see if we can get Tom to visit and appreciate. So there's a chance we'll talk to Tom about Get Stormy's career, and this is one of those stories that the horse develops a certain amount of fans and followers, you know, whether it's players or you know, just fans that visit the racetrack. And then he heads to the shed, and he wasn't necessarily, you know, his own sire. The wonderful Stormy Atlantic was a reasonable, you know, himself kind of a value sire at Hillendale, and so I don't know how much the expectation, despite the multi, you know, the multiple Grade One wins, said about this tomorrow, I think, if anything, got Stormy, her exploits kind of elevated the awareness of Get Stormy. And I actually, there's an aside here, and maybe I'll bring it up to, bring it up with John and Maury, I'm curious. But there was a tweet that I saved from over the weekend that about somebody that's involved in a microshare enterprise. And then, of course, there was you know, the success this weekend at Santa Anita of Forbidden Kingdom. And I really have been kind of, you know, ambivalent or neutral about it. But, you know, about what the prospects are, and you know, there's people that, you know, talk about the finances being just, you know, just usurious. And, I mean, the flip side is, I mean, I think everybody knows what they're, you know, what they're getting involved in, and they're doing it, you know, just to have fun and to be, you know, to have, you know, more than just a fan, you know, a fandom connection to a horse. Well, Got Stormy's, you know, second career, as it were, after being sold and campaigning, you know, another season under, you know, under a microshare banner, you cannot believe the number of comments that I saw off of, you know, the note that I put up about Get Stormy, saying, you know, I became a fan of his because of, you know, my microshare in Got Stormy. So there is clearly a benefit along those lines, and you know, it's fairly tangible, and you just watching, you know, social media posting. So I don't know. I suppose a roundtable discussion of it, because I mean, there are some very vocal critics, and then there are those that are, you know, rabid supporters. So I won't go beyond that. I can see where, you know, there is some real positive to it. So that's all I'll say. We're gonna reach for Shug, and I think we got Shug. Shug. I think he. Shuggy. Come on. All right. Let's try that again. I think he picked up to dial just as my call came in, actually. So that, let's see about, all right, we'll give Shug a minute. Now we got a message. So, all right, we'll come back to shooting. Let me kill a couple of minutes with some other. There we go. How about the Philadelphia? The Philadelphia story, as it were, from yesterday, and those three stakes, we tried to get creative with Chris Griffin, but that was not to be, really, no matter how hard. Here we go. I think Shug's calling me back. Let me see. There we go. Shug. Hey, Harlan. All right, hold on one sec. Here we go, and let's. Hey, there we go, Shug. Good morning.
Good morning,
Shug. I got to. There we go. Kathleen O. And you know, a couple of anxious moments as Javier was kind of waiting for a seam to open, but once that happened, she produced, and this is a really exciting filly.
I agree. You know, obviously, I sort of liked where he got her in because I could tell he had a lot of horse, and I could kind of see that was going to open up. So I think that was probably good for her, that, you know, that he had to wait kind of. Then go when she was, you know, in her third start. She wasn't intimidated. She went. But, you know, she's done everything we've asked her so far, and I don't think Saturday was her best race. You know, I think she's going to get better as we go along. Big, tall filly, you know. I think she's going to fill out, and we'll see what happens, where she takes us.
Well, we can project where she's probably taking you. 7 furlongs on the debut, and you caught mud that day at Aqueduct, and you know, that was an exciting win, and it turned out that group has been very productive. Then you came down here and you win on New Year's Day going the mile, and obviously the two turns will be next. I mean, talk about her development.
Well, as I said, she's a big, tall filly, and I just sort of waiting on her to, you know, before I ran her, let her kind of try to fill out some. And, you know, she'd been training well, and I thought she would run well when we ran her, but obviously you don't know about the mud. You know, and she seemed to kind of maybe feel herself along on that, but when she got into her stride, she was really running, you know, and able to get up. And, you know, she came out of it good. We got her to pace and park in good shape. And it's not really my style to run her in the stake off a maiden win, especially off of one start. But I said, well, let's give it a whirl. You know, obviously, I was very excited and impressed with the way she ran that day in the cash run. And, you know, then we sort of stepped it up a little bit here in the Devonta Dale. And, you know, she was able to answer the call there. So, you know, we'll go along here, and hopefully she'll come out of this race the way we want her to, and we can run her into Florida Oaks, and then see where she takes us. You know, I mean, obviously I'm a Kentucky Oaks fan, so that would be my dream. But, you know, there's a lot of good races for three-year-old fillies.
And it's interesting that your inclination is to stay here, and even though she is 2 for 2, but I thought maybe you'd angle toward the Ashland, actually. So that's interesting.
Well, she's nominated to it, Steve, but as you just said, you know, I like the idea of her shipping, you know, an hour and a half down the road and running over a racetrack she's familiar with, a barn she's familiar with, instead of send her into Keeneland to run her into Ashland. Like I say, I mean, the ultimate goal would be the Kentucky Oaks, and, you know, we run her here on the second. I think it would probably, timing would be good, and, you know, we'll just see. But I mean, she's gonna have to take us there. But the Ashland is not out of the.
what's interesting, too, is...
It's not out of the question.
You know, and, Shug, it's notable that she has won two races on this racetrack, which is notoriously speed-favoring, by coming from, you know, well off the pace. And when Javier started to move with her... It basically was at will, and it didn't seem like he had any concern. And of course, she came from almost a dozen lengths back in her maiden win. So she's got tactical speed, and I don't want to say push button because that's a trite term, but boy, it feels like she's got the kind of tools that are going to become, you know, very valuable. And then when you look at the breeding, let's talk about that. This was a Gainsway product in partnership with the Malones at Bridlewood, upstart out of a Blame mare. And so the mile in the eighth, looking ahead, shouldn't be an issue.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I was asked that question the other day. It'd be flatter the sire of upstarts by APND, and you know, he's out of a Blame mare. Blame was by Art, so she ought to run as far as you want her to. I mean, she's got that look about her. Also, that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, the other day I was a little bit, because she had in her first two races, she didn't break that good, and with the one post, but she broke good the other day. She just doesn't have the speed to keep up with them. But then he says, you know, when you get to the half mile post, she sort of grabs him, and you know, it's just a matter of finding a spot. That's the way she's been in, you know, the first three races. Now, you know, obviously as we go along, she's going to learn. But I'm satisfied now with her running style. And, you know, I think even when we go around two turns, it'll even, you know, it should benefit her even more. I mean, you know, who knows? But from what I've seen, I would think it would.
Kathleen O, tell me about the Wingate origins,
Steve, can I call you right back? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll call you. I'm just going to hang up and call back.
All right. That's funny because he sounds great on our end. And this is not through the switchboard either. This is my phone on a mark. There we go. There we go, Shug. How about that?
Yeah, hopefully that'll be better. I tell you, my phone's no good, and I'm too lazy to go over here to the Aventura Mall to the Apple Store because I don't want to go through that process. But I'm going to have to pretty good. I'll tell you about the Wingate guy. The Wingate guy is a guy named Pat Kearney who plays golf down where I do. He's 84 years old.
Oh, yes. Chicago. That's right.
And he was... I think he was maybe with Payne Weber. And, you know, he and some of the guys used to come out here some, especially when Coach Shula was alive, and they would eat lunch and watch three races on Thursday afternoons every now and then. But he never approached me about anything like this. We were always friends, and we played some together. And last winter, he got to kind of ask him some questions, and he set him up a TVG account when COVID was going on. And so, you know, then he would ask a few more questions, never any hint that I want to buy a horse. And so I just told him one day, I said, Pat, I'm going to bring you a couple of invoices and kind of let you see, because I didn't know what, you know, I didn't know where he stood financially or anything else. And so I handed them to him, and he handed them back to me the next day. He said, that ain't no problem. So I gave him a high one and a low one. And so then we sort of got into the process a little bit. He said, you know, I'd like to maybe try to buy a horse. How do I do that? I said, well, the best way right now is these two-year-old sales are coming up. And so we came over here, and I looked, it's interesting, I looked at a flatter filly. I kind of liked. I liked her breeze, but I liked her to a certain point. And she went by that certain point, so we dropped out. And then we go to Ocala April, and he's fine. And I said, let's try to buy a couple. And so I No, Brennan kind of helped me with this filly. She was in his consignment, and he liked her, and, you know, I kind of liked her, and so we got a little bit more aggressive, and, you know, he paid $274, and then we bought a colt, Noble Mission colt that I like, still like, that we bought him cheaper, and he's run three times. His first race was pretty good, and then his next two weren't, you know, and he ended up having some problems. We had to stop him, and but I was in Ocala the other day, and I thought he looked really good. So that's his two, and as I told him in the winner's circle on Saturday, I said, I'm going to tell you something, Pat, this doesn't happen. Guy don't buy his first horse and wins three in a row, and two of them being stakes.
Well,
he's having fun. He's excited. He's bought a few units in Woodford Racing, Bill Farish's deal.
Nice.
And so, you know, he's he just told me, you know, he just tells me, said, Suge, I'm having a really good time. And his wife, the same thing. The second time she ran in the cash run, his whole family was down here, like, for Christmas and stuff. So, you know, his daughters and his grandkids and this and that. So that made it. Made it even more exciting. He's a Notre Dame guy, so you see his silks with the big Irish shamrock on the back of it.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, he had a guy here. He's not. There was a chairman of the board of Notre Dame for 15 years that he went to high school with. And I told that guy, I said, I think she's going to run back on April the 2nd, put a circle around it because you're good luck. And, but, you know, it's, this is one of those deals that where it, you know, it's fun. You know, he's having fun. He's one of the few people in it anymore that are in it just to have fun and to race and to watch him race and, you know, not looking down the road or looking to sell or anything like that. And he just wants to have, at his age, he just wants to have another interest and have some fun.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of an old-fashioned sportsman. And, well, now I remember when we talked about after the cash run, and you said that after that, you said to him, and, you know, how come you didn't come around earlier?
That's what I told him. I said, I wish I'd met you 30 years ago.
Well, you know what? You could have used a couple of good clients along the way in your career.
Well, I think I got them now, you know. I mean,
I'm kidding.
Okay, no, I got, you know, the Phippses are trying to do the right thing, and Stewart is, Janny, and then, you know, with Don Adam and stuff, we can get that thing going in the right direction. This Woodford thing, and a couple I got for West Point, like First Captain, or, you know, horses that I think I'm excited about. I mean, you know, we're going to try to maybe do something with some two-year-olds this year in these sales. And so, you know, I mean, I'm excited about it.
No, I can tell. I can absolutely tell. And, you know, it's funny that we talk about this and about clients and things. I was at Oaklawn for 2 weeks, and last Saturday, Rebel Day, or I guess it was actually Sunday, the next day, John Ed Anthony became the winningest owner in Oaklawn history, 270
right.
wins. And we were all kind of kicking it around, and people were talking, and of course Van Landingham came up, and you know, the origins, and, you know, some people didn't even realize, you know, that was your start too with John Ed.
It was. He gave me a big opportunity. Through him being friends with Dr. Lavin, who also probably, you know, gave me a huge push, you know, when I was talking about those new clients too, Steve, you know, with Joe Allen. I mean, you know, I think the top's the limit for him. I mean, we've got some horses that are three and four that haven't run yet. And that's when I was in Ocala. He's got all the two-year-olds up there with Niall Brennan. I'd seen them all. The homebreds, and you know, obviously I knew the ones we had bought last September, who you know, he's got a couple of the home front, he's got a quality road colt out of Warfront, War Flag that won the Flyer Bowl. And he's got a really nice intermission colt out of America. I think he raced in Europe. And, you know, then we bought four or five, a really nice Candy Ride colt and beautiful War Front filly. And, you know, a few others that, I just think that they all could have, they all will be, but I think they could all have a chance to be decent horses. And, you know, they're something to be excited about, too.
Well, in the meantime, Kathleen O seems to be targeting and tracking toward a showdown in the Oaks. And you've won five Devona Dales. In fact, was that initial Devona Dale? I see actually you and Rusty, were there two divisions that year in 1988? You had Cadillacking?
I don't know. I can't remember. They're easily good at it.
Yeah, there was.
If Rusty won half and I won the other, and that probably was a split. Yeah.
That's what it was. Cadillacking won the second division, and Rusty won the first division with Charming Tigris. And so this was your fifth, the winningest trainer for Devona Dales, Glitter Woman in 97 with Mike Smith, and Yell with Johnny as well. That was in 2003. And then Fly So High. Wow, I forgot about Fly So High.
Yep.
In 18.
I would have forgot too on that one, but I like that when they put it up there on the, when I'm watching TVG and they put it up there, the winningest trainer. I like it when they've got my name there. Doesn't happen much, but every now and then I'll look up there.
Yeah, it happens plenty. Now there's actually two topics. We got to talk about the Oaks, if that's the case. I mean, maybe we're getting out ahead of ourselves, but you haven't won one since Dispute in 93.
And I'm not happy about that. Yale ran in it. We thought she was going to have a big chance, and she got in some trouble going into the first turn. I think she finished third. Nick won it with a filly, Miss Whitney's. But, you know, I'm ready to try again. but, I mean, as you know, I'm not going to take one over, just be taking them over there. And so, you know, in years past, we, you know, I mean, My Flag ran in it, but that family wouldn't run over the track of Churchill, and she didn't run any good that day either after winning to Ashland. And so I think Disputed won the Bonnie Mist down here, which is now the Florida Oaks, but then she won on and won the Oaks. And I think some of the horses, most, a lot of the horses, you know, of course it was run earlier in the year then because we stopped here on the 15th. You remember when the Florida Derby was run in the middle of March.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back into the ball game and, you know, keep our fingers crossed that it all works the right way, and we'll see what happens.
Well, all the positives associated with Kathleen O's win on Saturday, we do have to talk about what went on.
Well, I don't have any idea what happened there. I mean, she
New York?
Shipped up there.
Yeah.
She worked fine here on Saturday before she left. She shipped up there, really good shape. Lena went with her, and, you know, she never missed any of her feed and seemed to gallop fine. I don't know what happened. She got back to Florida today, so I'm going to be kind of interested in seeing her. But that wasn't her race. Her first two races, she came from back, and maybe we let her lay a little bit too close. Maybe she didn't like the track, or maybe I just misjudged something that maybe I didn't see. But that was a bit of a disappointment. But you know how racing is. You got to regroup and see what happens.
Now, we're talking about Radio Days, who came up for the Busher, and I mean, listen, it's not her fault or anybody's that the public bet her like the race had been run. That was the craziest betting I've ever seen that she would be, against some really that Venti Valentine is a serious filly, the New York bred, and
yes.
And that Magic Circle is okay. I was shocked at that, the way they were betting her.
They bet on her, I agree. But
yeah.
I agree with what you're saying, you know, and I think Magic Circle's in front. We were, you know, kind of laying on her tail, and, you know, I thought she was going along pretty easy, but that other filly exploded. She ran awfully good.
Yeah, no, she's winner. She's a serious. Well, both of the New York bred fillies, because the one that ran behind you, Classy Edition, is a New York bred as well. They're it's going to come down to them for a New York bred 2 year old filly of the year in a couple of weeks when they announce those. So you'll regroup with Radio Days, plenty of time and plenty of options. And what that was her fourth start, I think. Yeah, fourth start. So.
Yeah, she won her first start, and she won A.O. Then second, the Forward Gal, and then that was her fourth start, yes.
There you go. Well, all right, so keep an eye on that front. Let's catch up on a few other. You mentioned First Captain. I want to ask about a different first. Andrew Rosen's got that homebred coming up this week, is going to debut the Curlin Filly out of the Giant Causeway mare First Passage, First to Act. What do we think?
Well, I like her. I mean, I'm 4-year-old maidens aren't that easy. You know, you need to get them run, and she's been ready to run for about 3 weeks, and I couldn't get the race to go here or Tampa. And the people down here, Mike Lakehow, you know, was pretty persistent to try to get it to go, and finally it went. And you know, we're looking forward to running. I mean, you remember First Pass, and she was pretty good.
Yeah.
She's been a little bit light as a broodmare, but maybe this will pick it up. I think she's got a nice Omaha Beach, maybe yearling. And, so, you know, we'll see. But I do, you know, like I say, she's trained fine around here. She just had a lot of little things that got in her way. I never had been training her till, you know, we got down here first December. She'd always been at Niles and, you know, it was just stop and go. But she's doing very well now.
Nice. She's a half sister to Burn. That nice, speaking of West
exactly.
Point, right? That was a nice stake, filly.
Nice filly, yes.
Well, all right. So First to Act. And on the first front, what about First Captain?
Came out of his race really well. I was very happy with it. He hadn't been overcooked in his training, and as you were saying earlier, it's not that easy to finish over this track sometimes, and the horse was second and kind of shook loose on an easy lead, and, you know, he was able to run him down, came out of his race really well. Looking at him right now, he sat up in front of his stall, he didn't have his hay rack, but he, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with him yet, Steve, but the Carter is... could be in the plans.
Nice. And Carter, always a great early season opportunity. Certainly, Shug, you were watching on Saturday with interest. The few different things I always like asking you, just, you know, what you're observing. I suppose Speaker's Corner has got to have a few people thinking about, you know, where they're going to move their horses. That was an impressive effort.
Yeah, he ran really good. You know, I know they've always liked him, and looks like he's kind of found his spot right now, you know, going around one turn. And, you know, I read in there where he would like to run him in the mid-mile, so I hope he maybe skips the cars and goes the mid-mile.
Exactly. Shug, add your perspective, a career perspective, as a horseman, and you know, you've watched stewards, you've watched jockeys, and all the things that have transpired in terms of, you know, the way the game is policed. What was your opinion of what went on in the Fountain of Youth, and how the stewards are supposed to, you know, be monitoring essentially rough riding and herding? And, you know, we've been talking about this topic for more than as long as I can remember, and you're a neutral observer up there on Saturday, so I'm curious.
Well, I was watching it here in my office on TV, you know, and then you saw the two horses, what happened. But obviously, I didn't see what happened. I have watched the replay a couple times, and, you know, I mean, all eyes were on Paco, so, you know, I mean, it was going to be a quick blame, and maybe that was the right thing. You know, but I'm a big one on, you know, say, keep staying your lane and stay bright, and not be hurried. You know, I think they're going to get away with a little bit. You see a lot of, you know, horses drifting to see the horse on the outside of them. So, you know, I think that they just got to, you know, the stewards have got to be, they've got to be firm with these guys. And, you know, I guess that's one of the things with Hissa that maybe, you know, we're going to see a little bit more of. I don't know. But I do think that the stewards have got to be firm with the jocks and the trainers and, you know, whoever has an infraction or does something that's not really the rules, to be very aggressive with these guys and try to get it a little safer.
Yeah.
You won't ever see that happen again. If you haven't seen it, and you won't ever see the same trainer in the same race that happened to. I would have never, ever thought I'd ever seen that.
The two, to have two horses to drop, to have one drop down and lose both jocks, yeah.
Yeah. And both of them being the same trainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's... I do like the winner of the Florida, of the Fountain of Youth, though. I liked him going into that race the other day, coming off the second, the Holy Bull. And I think he's going to be one to kind of keep your eye on as we go down the road, down the line, because, you know, I like his running style and, you know, the way he can finish, too. So I think Antonio's got something to look forward to there.
Well, I had Antonio here live yesterday, and he's a guy that's not afraid to train his horses.
Good guy. Really nice guy. I pull from Antonio.
Let me ask you about one more horse, Shug, and I'll let you go. You got a horse that worked yesterday at up at Payson, and is 2 for 2 as a 4-year-old, and maybe under the radar. How good is Scalding?
We'll find out Saturday in Tampa. Always have liked him, and I had him here last winter, and I liked him so much I sent him up to Payson to be on, you know, maybe a little bit kinder track, because obviously they don't run on it up there. And he got up there and he hurt a knee, so we had to give him some time. Didn't operate on him, just had to give him some time. And, you know, he's come back good. I mean, his first race was kind of a crazy race, but, you know, his races since then have all been, really good. I think the one thing about it is that I think he'll run as far as you want to. So, you know, I'm looking forward to running him on Saturday, and we'll see where we stand. You know, he's got some natural speed, so, you know, I think that he'll be up close, and we'll see what happens from there.
Nice. All right. I wanted to ask, because it's kind of a mystery horse, and it seems like every week there's another 4-year-old that is, you know, coming out of the woodwork, improving the whole prospects for the handicap division. Shug McGahee, everybody. Thanks so much, Shug. Great job with Kathleen O, and I'll see you at Tampa on Saturday.
Okay, Steve. Thanks.
Shug McGahee, everybody, and always an absolute pleasure, and you can ask him anything, and you can ask him I love the history questions when I get to bring up old horses of his. I always get to kid him too, Shug, it's good you got a new client like this, because he's had a fairly nice roster of owners over the years. We've got part of our live visits on site. Maury Wolf is here. We're waiting for John Parada. Let's do this. We'll take our top of the hour break and come back, and I'll get started with Maury until John shows up. And actually, that might be good, because I got sort of business technical questions from Maury first, and then when John comes in, you're going to get kind of the best of racetrack characters who are now deceased, as they say, to pull a Broadway Danny Rose. Great crooners of the past who are now deceased. Back after this, the Gulfstream.
Why our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and as always, whenever we get a there you go, whenever we get a guest that, and look at this. Well, you want to talk about timing? Parada literally walks in as.